Thank you, Jesus. God is so good, isn't he? Yes. Thanks, Jesus. I want to give you a father's blessing on this Father's Day. So if you will posture yourself for a blessing to receive, you can close your eyes or leave them open or whatever you want to do. But just receive this. As a father and as a representative of your heavenly Father, I want to impart a father's blessing to you. I bless your life, the life that God gave you. He knew you before he created the world. He formed you in your mother's womb to be exactly who you are, to look as you do, to have the personality and character you have. There were no surprises. You were uniquely crafted and specifically designed for God's purpose. He rejoiced when you were created, celebrated and boasted when you were born, and has been with you every day and year that has passed. He loves you and wants you to know the height, depth, and breadth of his love for you. Not for what you do or have done, but for who you are. I bless your personal faith in Jesus Christ, that you may not only believe what he has said, but receive what he has promised for your life. I bless you in your walk with God, that you may be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, with your mind bound to his thoughts, your hands bound to his work, and your feet bound to his path for your life. I bless the day you were born, the perfect timing of your birth, and the destiny that God pre-planned for your life. All the days of your life were ordained before one of them came to be. May you discover the sheer joy of walking in the steps that God has ordered for your life. I bless your gender as a beautiful woman or a cherished man of God, created in God's perfect design. I bless your birth order. May the timing of your arrival and your relationship with your brothers and sisters be used by God to perfect you according to his will. I bless your emotional life, that you may understand deep in your heart that God will always provide a safe place for you, a place of refuge in this earth from the forces that set themselves against you. May God's perfect love displace any fears in your life. I bless your marriage. What God has joined together, may no one ever separate. May you always be one with your spouse and know the leading of the Lord to support, encourage, and respect him or her in all things. I bless you as a mother and father, and bless your children, that the generational blessing upon you and your family line would be passed on to them. May each of your beautiful children provide breadth and depth to your life experience, and may each of them share your values in life and experience a personal walk with God. I bless the work of your hands, that whatever roles you find yourself in, or whatever organization you find yourself within, be fulfilling to you and glorifying to God. I bless your finances, that you may always know the abundance of God's supply, and that you will always discern and obey the requirements for financial blessing and live securely without need or of fear or want. I bless and release you into your destiny and purpose that God has for you, and the anointing over your life. You demonstrate gifting in many areas. May you continue to grow in these areas of gifting and any other that God has for you. I bless your physical health. And specifically, if you're under attack right now, that you may walk into divine health. And that you may walk in good health all the days of your life. Know this day that you are blessed. Blessed by the Most High with the same inheritance as that of His Son, Jesus Christ. In whose name and authority I pronounce this blessing on you this day. Be blessed. Hallelujah. God is good. And we have a special speaker for you on Father's Day. It's a real thrill for us because this guy is a father in the church. He walks as a father, and he's just a joy to know and to walk with. He's a friend to many and a mentor to some who are really blessed. And he's come from England to be with us today. Our friend and a father in the faith, Jim Ford. Come on, Jim.
Yeah, I can still say good morning.
Just barely.
Good morning. That's English for hello, okay? You can wave at me. Come on, let's make sure you're alive. Let you wave at me. Come on. It's good to know you're alive and breathing. Breathing's good for you. You need to do it. It keeps you going. If you stop breathing, I'll get Dave Radigan to come across and pray for you. And, you know, man of faith, no. No, I just want to thank Pastor Randy and Pastor Samuel, whom I've known for a while, for letting me come here and just share with you. I'm aware of God's presence here this morning. It's already been said by Pastor Christine that God's anointing, God's presence. You know, I love it when God messes with the air. You know, because you don't know what's going to happen. You know something's happening, but you don't know what's happening. And it's fun. A bit scary sometimes, but it's fun. Because you don't know who it's going to affect. We just have to be in the atmosphere. We just have to be in the presence. We just have to be there and available for God to drop on us, as it were. To saturate us, to marinate us. You know what, you ladies and, hey, all the gents are probably out there this afternoon doing barbecues. You know what you do when you marinate something?
Yes.
Hello? Holy Spirit wants to marinate us.
Hallelujah.
Take on His flavor. Whoa, that's kind of neat. Yes. I don't want you to take a bite off me, but, you know, it's like, I feel as though I've been marinating all morning in the presence. And I've been marinating in the presence of God for a couple of weeks because I'm doing this tour around the Pacific Northwest. And a couple of days ago when I was, God, who doesn't like God when He wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning? I say, excuse me, God, I'm supposed to be sleeping. I know you neither slumber nor sleep, but Jim needs his sleep, okay? It's like, come on, don't wake me up. You know, it's like. And I just woke up and I became very aware of Cloverdale and the church here. But I became very aware of specifically two people. I don't know who they are. One is definitely female because it can only happen in females. What the Lord said to me, and God just dropped into my heart that there's a young female. Well, it may not be young in the sense of a teenager, but a young female who, and I'm just going to say this out, so you have a problem with your left ovary. It's not functioning as it should do. And ladies, you know what that means. You are desperate. That might be a strong word, but your heart's desire is that you want to bear children, but your left ovary is not functioning. And that causes problems if you're trying to get pregnant. And so God said, I want to do something for you this morning that will enable you to bear the child of your dreams, the child of your heart's desire. So I'm just throwing that out there. Come on. Hey, it won't affect me, okay? I've got two daughters. Spoke to one of them this morning at dark o'clock this morning. It's like, and so I really want to pray for you because I don't believe God wastes words. And I know some of you. You think she's downstairs? Well, who's going to be brave enough to run down and say, hey, you're wanted? God wants you. I don't know who that would be. I'm just throwing it out there. You're it. You hope it's her. If you go red, we'll feel it from here. We'll feel the warmth, okay? Hey, come on, lighten up. Come on, it's like, okay. God wants to do good stuff. There's somebody else in here too that has, and I can't work out whether this is gallstones or gallbladder. I've kept saying to God, can you just be more specific? But I believe there's someone in here that is suffering with their gallbladder. And I'm not sure whether it's stones or it's. Come on, don't be shy. I'm not very often wrong, I'm telling you. God doesn't wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and give me ideas and then say, okay, you can go back to sleep again now. Because it's happened twice while I've been here. On this side of the pond, as they say. Nobody's got gallbladder problems. Come on, Andrew. It's like, oh, he's just got to pray for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
He's ready. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, release the anointing that breaks every yoke, every infirmity, every issue. There you go. It's yours. There you go. Come on. It's just like. Okay. Holy Spirit marinator. One more time. Ready? One, two, three. Are you laughing because he's gone or it's because it's, you know?
It's good.
Well, it's going to get even better. Okay. There you go. There you go. You can. You. There you go. Look. You don't have any pain now, do you? No, no. It's better than calling, you know.
Thank you.
Okay?
I'm good.
Way to go, Andrew.
I know this person. I promise you I would pray for you this morning. Come on. You know, there's a story in Kings and you can come out, you know. So there's a story in I think it's 2 Kings 4, where a woman had a revelation that they got a spare room. And they said, hey, the prophet comes by here regularly. Why don't we invite him to our house? And we'll provide him a room and he can stay with us. And that went on for a little while. And if you read through the story, the story comes that the woman has a son and the son dies. And so the prophet comes by again and she says, hey, my son has died. And so the prophet goes up and, cutting a long story short, because we want to pray for this young lady here, she is blessed because the son comes back to life. He's raised from the dead. The prophet lies prostrate over him, and he comes to life. The upshot of that is, you know, there's blessings when you open your home to people that are prophets or whatever. And this young lady has hosted me for the last few days, and she's got another couple of days to go, so you better pray for her. But it's like, but God wants to bless you because you have opened your home. Are you ready? The muzzy head is going to go right now in Jesus' name. I don't care what the enemy wants to put on you. He's not got any authority on your life.
That's right.
He can't have you. He has no right to inflict you. And so by the authority granted to me, in Jesus' name, there you go. It's yours. There you go. How does that feel? Why do people laugh when you pray for them? Does that feel good? Where's my ovaries gone? I mean, I haven't got any ovaries, but oh, she's embarrassed.
No, she's teaching.
Do you want to teach kids or do you want your healing? There's a challenge for everybody. Do you want to carry on with your life or do you want God to touch it? That's a challenge for all of us. Because, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll put up with what's going on with my life. I'm not going to put up with anything. God's my healer.
That's it.
But more than that, he's the lover of my soul. And he wants the best for me.
That's right.
I sometimes wonder why we put up with stuff when Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Some of us would rather endure life than enjoy life. God, if God wants to touch your life, why not let him? Simples. I like minions. Anyway, there you go. I want to share something with you this morning. I want to share my heart with you, really. I believe in Cloverdale Church. You could all go, yay! No, come on.
Yay.
But more than that, I believe that God believes in Cloverdale Church.
Yay.
And God wants to do something. I know Brendan comes in and he does his thing and all these guys. But I believe that we go from level to level. And we go from one level of glory to another level of glory.
Amen.
And I believe that Cloverdale Church, and hear me when I say church, because I don't mean the four walls or the building. When I talk about church, I mean the ecclesia. I mean you guys, each of you individually. You see, if you don't grow individually, the church will not grow corporately. Am I speaking to somebody here? Come on. And so, what I want to share with you this morning is God inviting you to come to another level. Whether you accept the challenge or not will depend on what you do, because you will leave this building having made a decision whether you're going to go with the flow or you're going to, hey, I'll see you next week. But God doesn't want to just see you next week. He wants to be involved in your life when you leave this building.
Amen.
First thing I did when I got on the plane from Amsterdam to here, I sat next to a guy. I said, hi, we're going to be sitting next together for one another for the next 10 hours. Can I tell you who I am? And I started to talk to him. And you know, we eventually got to the nub of the thing. He was he'd just done his degree in physics. And he said, I don't believe in anything. Well, he said, no, that's not really true. Do you know anything about New Age? I said, yeah. And I said, but that's only logic. My God is above logic. And you want a revelation. Never mind being taught in a class. And we had a really good chat. Hey, because you just talk to people. Hey, I don't know why I said that, but that's another story. But so I want to share with you something. So, number one, I've got to point over to the, you know, because the clicker won't work. Isaac. He told me untruths. He said the clicker will work.
Untruth.
I won't say a lie, because that's, you know, it probably will work at some point when he gets enough time to, yeah. So there we go. First scripture up. Hey, I can't even see it. You'll have to get bigger words. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly. Exceedingly means it's mega. You know what? Well, you all know what mega means, don't you? It's bigger than big. Abundantly. Oh, man, these are big words for Sunday morning. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Do you know, I love the book of Ephesians. It's got some great stuff in it. I want to read you that too. I want to read you that from the Living Bible. Now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes. That puts it in a nice way, doesn't it? We can all relate. We can all relate to that. Some of us, though, unfortunately, don't ever dare to ask. We don't ever dare to dream, maybe because that's the way we've been brought up. Our dreams have been shattered. Our dreams have been destroyed. They've been put on hold for whatever reason. And I'm not here to talk about the reasons. I want to share with you something that is very personal to me. But I want to tell you something in relation to that all of us can relate to, first off, and all good Christians have these in hallways. They have them in bathrooms. They have them in dining rooms. I'm talking about the dreaded plaques. They make your house look as though somebody spiritual lives there. Because when you have visitors, they all look at your plaques, and have you ever noticed they all read them? And they go, that's good. But they relate the plaque to you.
All right.
Uh-oh. It's true. Come on. This is true, isn't it? Come on. Then you go to some churches. Have you ever been to those spiritual churches that have got them pennants hanging on the wall? And they're very spiritual if they're done in Hebrew. The names of God in Hebrew. I can't even say a half of them, you know. It's like, and I'm supposed to be, you know. But anyway. And it's just like, and you think, whoa. Don't they look cool? This place must be really spiritual.
Amen.
I notice you haven't got any, but that's another story. But it's like, come on. It's like, hey, but so here's my confession. I've got some in my house. I've got a special one on the wall of my bedroom. It sits on the wall when I, so it's on the foot of the bed, on the wall opposite the foot of the bed. So when I go to bed, I read it. And when I get up in the morning, I see this plaque. And, you know, it's just one of those kind of plaques that you buy from the home decoration stores. You know, when you're walking around those home decoration stores, you see some really good ones, don't you? But if you're very spiritual, you buy them from the Christian bookstore, okay? And you pay a lot more money for them, okay? Because you can go to Walmart and buy a cheap one, and you know, but you can go to the Christian bookstore and pay double the price.
That's
the anointed ones. So it's like, you know. But, yes, there he is. That's the plaque that I go to bed with and I wake up with. But here's the confession. Confessions of a preacher. I didn't buy it, okay? No, it was actually given to me by a group of young people that I used to disciple called History Makers, and Pastor Randy and Pastor Christine have ministered to the History Makers when they came over to England. And the season for training these young people was over, so they had a celebration, and that was the plaque that they gave to me as a memento of their sitting under my ministry for some of them since the inception of it, which was about 15 years. So it was supposed to be in an 18 to 30 group. And we had one girl there that would refuse to leave, and she was 42. But hey, there you go. And that was given to me. Living the dream. Well, what the flipping heck does it mean? You know, I mean, come on. It could be just a plaque on the wall. Great sentiments, but what does living the dream mean? I hope you brought your lunch, by the way, because I'm going to be here for a long time. No, but it's like living the dream. And this was told to me, and some bright, you know, there are some bright sparks in some churches. And I was talking to somebody in our church, and I said, you know, I said, what does it mean? Yeah, I said, hey, because I was talking to them, and he said, what does living the dream mean? And this is what he said. First, you listen to your heart. And I thought, yeah, well, that's pretty good. Then you listen to your head. And I thought, yeah, go on then, yeah. And then he said, then you do what your wife tells you to do. And so I went, oh, come on. It's like, because he knows I'm married, so it's, there you go. And so, you know, well, no, it's not like that, but there you go. But I want to share with you two statements. Please, sir. That's the first one. And I want you to hold these in your heart. I want you to hold on to them. When you dream a dream so big, only God can fulfill it. One man that I'm aware of said, you know, dream a dream so big that it scares you. And I wonder how many dreams that you've had that were less than big, but even those have faded in the ethers of time. I don't know. If your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough.
Good.
Wow. Then, two, a dream does not drive you, it draws you. And that's important. Dreams don't drive you. They draw you. George Bernard Shaw, who was not a Christian, okay? George Bernard Shaw was...
He was the opposite.
He was not a good lad, okay? Said this. You see, even the unsaved can say some good things sometimes. You see things and you say why, but I dream things that never were and say, why not? See it?
It's good.
Wow. If somebody that doesn't believe in the God of the universe can say that, how much more do you and I need to take that on board and say, hey, there is nothing impossible with God. The God who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. And an atheist can say what he's just said. Romans 12, and it's not on a PowerPoint, so you should all know this scripture. If you're a good Christian, you should know this one. It's one of the most preached on scriptures in the New Testament. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. A lot of versions in the original says reasonable service, which is your reasonable service. And that means, you know, you've rationally and intelligently thought this through. And so, God, you can have my life. You've all done that, I assume. Well, I won't ask for a show of hands, but, you know. You've thought through your life status, not the one on Facebook, your status, and you've said, okay, God, you can have my life. You can do with it whatever you like to do with it. I am yours completely. That's the first scripture that God ever challenged me with. Well, not that one, but this. Jim, it's the first one I ever learned. I was a young Christian, only a few weeks old. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. I went, oh. And so, you know, when I read this scripture, you know, because We like to read the good scriptures, don't we? And we think, that sounds good. Yeah, it's like, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren. And by the way, that includes you ladies. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. By the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which is your spiritual worship. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. That's interesting. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. By the way, in the original language, it's not done. Paul doesn't say that as, this is a good idea, this is a suggestion, you might think about doing this. In the original, it's a must do. It's an imperative commandment. It's strong. You've got to do this. Why do I say that? If we go back to what I'm here to share with you this morning about dreaming, living the dream. Dreams, by their very nature, if you look up in the dictionary, it means aspiration. Dreams are aspirations, not those things that you have in the middle of the night because you've had too much cheese. Okay? It's aspirations. And they form in the imagination. Yes? You stay with me, because you know I don't just preach, I do a little bit of teaching in what I do, you know, so you have to stick with the scriptures, okay? It's like, so before I became a Christian, I had a vivid imagination. Okay? During my teenage years into my early 20s, my mind ran riot. Okay, and I'm not going to tell you what I sort of imagined, but I imagined some stuff. Okay? I was not brought up in a Christian home. And so you can imagine the kind of stuff. Yeah, well, anyway, there you go. The dreams I had that were fired in my vivid imagination were as a result of what I was doing, where I was associating, what I was doing, saying, asking, being. And so what was going on in my mind was a product of where I was living my life. Yes? Come on, you all react. Come on. This means yes, this means no. Okay? It's like, and so here I am, this notorious gang leader that has a vivid imagination, and I imagined. Trust me, I did some imagining. But when I came into my relationship with God, my imagination, because I allowed God to transform my mind, my imagination became a sanctified imagination. And what it was filled with was what was fueled with by what I was doing with God, in God, and through God, and for God. Yes. Hello? Hey, it was Billy Graham, move over. Jim Ford's coming. It's like, you know, come on. I was only a Christian for a few weeks, and I was preaching to thousands. Come on. I'm up for it, God. Come on. Where do I go next? And he said, hold on a bit, Jim. But my vivid imagination had become a sanctified imagination. That's just a posh word for being set apart, okay? My mind now had been taken from one way of thinking, and I was now thinking in a different way. Not just direction, It was a different way. And so why do I read that? It's like, I want to dream in accordance with the king's purpose. Because he said, I will know his will. Okay? So if my mind is in living in accordance with God, then I start to think like him and I start to walk in his ways. And if I walk in his ways, I walk in his will. That's a given. You can write that down, tweet that. Jim Ford says, you walk in his ways, you walk in his... Okay? And so, I want to dream in accordance with the king's purpose. Yes. And you know what I mean by the king, don't you? Come on. And so, my question to you, because I'm like this, you know, I ask questions, don't I? It's like, what dreams? Come on. Don't answer these. These are all rhetorical, okay? Because I don't want to embarrass you. What dreams, inspired by the Holy Spirit, have been triggered in your imagination?
Good.
Give you a second to think about that. What desires to do something for God, to glorify God, have been planted in your thinking that are sometimes way bigger than what we're experiencing right now? This is the God that we serve. Has God revealed to you something? The purpose that God has placed in your heart to do, and what has God called you to pursue? What is the unique path that God has set out before you that he wants you to walk? Or is it that you've never even given it a thought or the time of day? You've never sat down with Dad and said, hey, Dad, what's the deal? All inspired by the Holy Spirit, placed deep down in here somewhere where the hidden things of the heart, God talks about the hidden things of the heart, doesn't he? Those things that germinate and you think, oh, I daren't tell anybody that, they'll think I'm, oh no, I daren't share that, that's beyond my station. That's beyond my capabilities. I'm telling you, they cheered when I left school. You've heard this. I've told people that I left school with diddly squat. No zip. No qualifications, no nothing. But God had other ideas. And I want to say to you this morning that God has other ideas for your life. He wants you to dream. When you dream a dream, dream a dream so big, only God can fulfill it. Man, Cloverdale Church would explode. But I'm not so much interested, well, you hear what I'm saying here, sorry, sir, but I'm not so much interested in the corporate identity of Cloverdale. I'm interested in you exploding for God. Because if you explode, Cloverdale will explode.
That's
right. Come on. God is this absolutely amazing God. And there's something else that goes with dreams. It's called faith. You need an element of faith to go with dreams.
That's right.
Just a little element. It's called a grain of mustard seed. That's all the size it takes to move mountains. Can I dare I say create mountains? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, that's present tense in the original. Now faith, not now faith. No faith.
No.
No Now faith. Faith that happens now. That's what it means. Now faith. Present tense is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, the legal title of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving, and I'll put this in, faith is perceiving as real fact that which is not revealed to the senses. Now faith. Faith is now. Carpe diem. Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams. Seize the day. Carpe diem. And I want to say to you, folks, when it comes to dreaming dreams that are so big only God can fulfill them, we need to act in faith and say, God, I'm going to seize the day. I'm going to seize the moment. I'm going to seize the dream. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And I don't care. Oh, I nearly said don't care what it costs then.
Oh. Amen.
Preach it. Wow. Not just as a church. Next slide, a statement. Oh no, that's the wrong one. We'll go back one. Is the one before that? Oh, look. Buzz is not there. Go on, next one. No, there's one missing. Oh, no, I've missed it. I'll tell you what it is because I've got it down on my notes. I've got a slide. Don't put Buzz up yet. They all want to know what Buzz is doing on there. Come on. Statement. Faith is daring to go beyond what you can see, even in the natural, and trusting God with the consequences. You can say Jim Ford said that. That's an original. Okay, that's a Jim Ford original. Faith is daring to go beyond what you can see and trusting God with the consequences. Verse 6. Because we always read Hebrews 11:1 and think, oh yeah. But verse 6, I think is always incredible. Nobody ever preaches on verse 6 because it's not one of those good verses. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he, this is the good bit of that verse, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we come to faith, if we come to God in faith with our dreams, we have to believe that he will reward you. You can go and say, hey, God, I didn't write this. You wrote it. You said, if I come to you in faith, believing, you will reward me. I'm telling you. I'm only reading scripture. Not just as a church. Oh, well, Pastor Randy, he's prayed and he's believing. Yeah, we'll go behind you. You go first. Lead on, Macduff, or something like that. It's like, no. It's for you to act on your now faith. And you have to believe that God will do what he says he will do because he said it. And so when you start to exercise your walk, and the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, when you take the first step, you have to believe God is going to fulfill the dream that he's placed in your life and in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. You have to. That's called faith.
Amen.
Simple. Not easy, but it's simple. Yes, you may face big challenges to go to the further and to go higher and deeper. But for us to do that, for us to go further, higher and deeper, to make the dream a reality, We need to launch out in faith. You need to take the bull by the horns, as it were. And I don't mean at the rodeo. Buzz Lightyear, go on, put Buzz up. Go on, everybody wants to know what Buzz is doing on there. You can read that. I put that on there because I thought it was good. But I actually sent that to somebody, the young man that I mentor. And it said it blew his mind when he read it. He got it through a message on, you know, Facebook stuff. I don't know how this technology works, but anyway, I sent it. And he got it. But why do I put Buzz Lightyear? How many of you have watched the story? Come on, confession. Toy Story. How many of you have watched it? Come on. Are you looking around?
I'm praying for them all.
Are you praying for them all? Yeah. Do you know Toy Story came out 20 years ago? Yeah, what? 20 years ago. I didn't realize that until some bright spark told me. 20 years ago, Toy Story. It's like, whoa! I thought, yeah. But Buzz Lightyear happens to be one of my favorite cartoon characters. I do like Minions. I love Minions, okay? So if you ever get an email off me or a message, you always get a little Minion with it as well. So, you know, I'm not. But anyway, that's it. Despicable me. No, I'm not despicable. I'm nice, okay? Come on, look. I better get going here. And you know, it's not good. Yeah. You know the story of Buzz. When he gets introduced to the toy room and Woody's there, he's the king of the castle. Bless him. And Buzz comes in and everybody knows what he says, don't you? Infinity and beyond, you know. And he's a Power Ranger. Come on. And there he is, and he's as larger than life. And sometimes when you're walking with God, you have to be larger than life, okay? And so, you know, he's there. And his one thing, his dream, is not about affinity and beyond, because that's where he's going, but it's like, I can fly. Come on, you all remember, don't you? I can fly. And all the toys were going, no, you can't, you're a toy. No, I can fly. I'm going to fly. I can fly, I can fly, I can fly. No, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't. I can fly. You know the story. And at the end of the story, he does fly of sorts anyway. Yeah, like, hey, come on. It might have been off the balcony, but he flies. Okay. But there's a part in there where he's learning about Power Rangers and he's got a red button on his chest. And he, power up, you know, and he's, come on, you can all remember this. Or is it only me that watches these stupid films? No, it's like, God always speaks to me. Have you ever noticed God picks a theme that he always speaks to you? Mine's films. They can be the weirdest films, but I, you know, anyway. And so, he says, I want to power up. And this morning, God is saying to you this morning, will you power up?
Good.
Will you punch the red button and say, God, I want to dream dreams. I want to fly. I have actually got in my office a plaque, back to plaques. And it says, my father taught me how to fly. I've got plaques all over the house. I've got one in the bathroom that said, tell your problems to God tonight because he'll be up all night anyway. And he says, yeah, I've got them all over the place. But what I'm saying is, I am convinced of this one thing. That this morning there are people in here that God wants to start to fly. He wants to bring the dreams that you've had to reality. He wants you to push the button of faith, and say, God, I'm going to go for this. I want to see your glory manifested, not just on the earth, but in my life. I want to do exploits for you. I want to do things for you. I want to go places for you. I want to see your name exploded in Cloverdale, Surrey, Vancouver, wherever. I don't know where you might go. I'm telling you, I flunked school. And I've ended up going around halfway around the world one way and halfway around the world the other. God can take you places that you can only dream of.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
But you have to press the button. Definition of faith. It's a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ.
Wow.
It's a firm persuasion and expectation. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. There's another one you can tweet, okay? Expectation is the mother. Or you could say father because it's Father's Day. Expectation is the father of manifestation. If you don't expect anything, guess what? Nothing. But if your expectation is fueled by faith, there will be a manifestation. Wow. Come on. Most of the dreams that we have are founded on what we've read in the scriptures and what we understand from the scriptures. And secondly, we get inspired by reading books and, you know, biographies and autobiographies and testimonies, and we read exploits that these other guys, and some of us sometimes sit back and think, oh, I wish I was like that. Well, you can be. I'm here this morning to challenge you. You can be. Next statement, yes. Next thingy me jiggy, whatever. Is it yes? There you go. Talking about Hebrews. Faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind or the spirit the reality of those that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. You know, sometimes we put off by what we see in the natural. How many of you watch CNN? This is confession time. I don't know what the news is over here. What is it? CBBC? Yeah. See, you get CNN.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Christine knows. There you go. Christine watches CNN. No, she doesn't. No, but I mean, my wife said to me, why do you watch the news? It's like, man, if you want to get depressed and you want to start taking happy pills, watch the news. It's like, man. But by faith, I can see beyond what the newscast says. You see, the enemy of our souls is only the prince of the powers of the air. My God is the... All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know Boko Haram are doing this stuff, and ISIS are doing that stuff, and these are doing that, and oh man, even our own governments are doing stuff that we, oh man. You don't have to go very far, do you, to find stuff that is contrary to God's purpose and plans. But if we start living the dream, I believe that Christians are the most powerful force on the planet. Yes. We just don't know it. We could be a force to be reckoned with. But let's be honest. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of this. Do I live my dream? Some of us could say, well, kind of. You know, as a young boy, I dreamed of being a firefighter. You know, everybody wants to be a fireman. I don't know about girls. Hey, I was never a girl, okay? I'm a male, and I'm proud of it, okay? So it's like, I wanted to be a firefighter. I want to be the goaltender for the Canucks. You know, come on, it's like, hey. And I want, you know, dreams that will never, you know, it's like pie in the sky stuff. And so some dreams I've had, as I've grown older, I've had to bury, okay? You know, and we do, because they're born out of vivid imagination rather than sanctified imagination. But it's sad to say, parts of my Christian dreams have been put on hold. I've let some of them go. Some of them I haven't even yet discovered.
Yeah, good.
Some of them are in the middle of being baked. I'm not sure how they're going to turn out either. We're coming to it. I'm nearly done. Well, if you believe that when a preacher says that, you're anyway. John Maxwell, you know, famous author, business teacher, takes all his stuff from the Bible. Great Christian, got some great stuff to say. And next, Dubry. There you go. This is what he says about dreams. A dream is an inspiring. Come on, inspiring, I love that word. Inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, your will, and your emotions. Empowering, oh, what an absolutely amazing word. Empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it. I want to take that next step. Get a dream so big that only God can fulfill it, and the Holy Spirit will do the empowering.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you can clap, cheer, do it. It's like, I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit is working, and you're all looking at me going, huh? I'm Pentecostal.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm proud of it. I go to a happy, clappy church. I like to see the Holy Spirit move, and I like to see Him empower. But what I want most is for the Holy Spirit to empower me. And if you don't want yours, I'll have yours as well. Okay? And so, come on. If you want to see the dream that you have fulfilled, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. You press the button of faith and you say, Holy Spirit, come on in. Not come on down.
No, that's right.
He's already here. And so, you know, I think John Maxwell hit on something there. A dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, your will, and your emotions, empowering you to do whatever you can to achieve it. He did continue in that statement saying, a dream worth pursuing is a picture and a blueprint of a person's purpose and potential. I didn't put that up there, but I want you to hear this. A dream worth pursuing is a picture and a blueprint of a person's purpose and potential. God sees your purpose and your potential. We just got to lay hold on the blueprint. Next, Sharon Hull, a friend of John Maxwell, says this, a dream is the seed of possibility planted in the soul of a human being which calls him to pursue a unique path to the realization of his purpose. Have you read that? Come on, read it. Hey. A dream is the seed of possibility planted in the soul of a human being, which calls him to pursue a unique path to the realization of his purpose. What dream has God planted? What dream has God revealed to you? What purpose has God placed in your heart? What has God called you to pursue? What is the unique path that you started on? Inspired by the Holy Spirit. Placed deep in your heart, in your spirit, in that sanctified part of your imagination where dreams are formulated. God wants to bring that dream to a realization so that we can start to live the dream, living the dream. Without a dream, how many of you know without a dream, you can get frustrated?
Yeah.
Man, I've suffered frustration. If you want God's blessing in your life, you must dare to ask for it. Nearly finished. If you want God's blessing on your life, you must dare to ask for it. I'm talking to somebody here.
Thank you, Lord.
Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a good scripture. Behold, I am the Lord, the maker and the finisher of dreams. The God of all flesh. I don't care what. Hey, get used to this. It's going to be around as long as you are. But he's the God of all flesh. He can take your human flesh and transform it. Go back to Romans. Okay, come on, tie this all together. Come on with me. Romans 12, 1, you know, that you present your bodies. He can take your body, your flesh, and then he says, is there anything too hard for me? How you see the size of God will determine the size of your dream.
Good.
And here is the finale. Can I have the last slide up, please? How many of you are reading that and saying, I don't know? What would I attempt for God if I knew I could not fail? When you leave this building, and it's just a building. It's not church. It's a building. When you leave this building, I want you to remember that question. And as you're remembering that question, you will make a choice. Am I going to dream a dream so big that only God can fulfill it? Or am I just going to do nothing? I'm not going to push the button like Buzz. I'm going to go back to the norm. Can I just, this is the last sentence I will say, because I want you to look at that. And I want us to have a time of quiet, just reflection. God will take you at your word. If you dare to go with God, you'll fly. If you choose not to fly, you won't fly. Let's read the question and then talk to the one who is both Lord and God. See what dream He may inspire with you before you get out of the doors. That says you'll never be the same again. Because God is causing you to fly.
Challenge for all of us. It's good. Yeah. Well, what kind of a lunch would you have if you could knew you couldn't fail at your lunch? God is so big and so awesome and so much more than we could ever imagine. Let's take Him with us as we go today. Let me pray for you here. Jesus, thanks that we can be with you, and thanks for Jim, and thanks for his challenge for us to see you as way bigger than we currently see you. We're living with limited possibilities, and you would have us live with unlimited possibilities. So help us to make the transition to that, Lord. Help us to see the incredible wonder that you have available for us. The area for our sanctified imagination to push into and see the possibilities that you have available for us. Help us to move into those things so that we can see your kingdom increased on this earth. And that we can see the ends of the earth reached in our day. Jesus, have someone here enlivened with the idea that they could bring 1 million people to you, or 2 or 10, to know you that way and to move with you, Lord. Jesus, plant the seeds of great dreams amongst us this morning. Or this afternoon. And bless each one now. In your lovely name, Jesus. Amen.